It has been a little more than a year since General Motors emerged from bankruptcy protection. You could call the auto bailout another way in which the government was pumping money into our economic system. But the automaker is now about to announce its initial public offering. And what happens at the end of this IPO release is that the government will no longer hold a majority share in General Motors. It also means GM stands to earn some pretty large profits over the next few years. And it also means the government is probably selling out at a loss. Joining us now to explain, Paul Eisenstein, publisher of the DetroitBureau.com. He's on the line from his home in Detroit. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Celeste.
So it's been almost exactly a year. November 2nd of 2009, the Accountability Office said the Treasury Department wouldn't break even on the $80 billion investment in GM and Chrysler. Is that turning out to be the case?
Yeah, the word we're hearing right now is at the price that GM is likely to set, for the IPO later this month, which would be about $26 to $29 per share for the shares that the company will auction off that the government holds. They'll probably lose as much, as much as $5 billion on the federal share.
But, as I understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, the government and the GM were wrangling over when to offer this IPO. They weren't agreeing on it. But is it not the case that although they could lose up to $5 billion with the initial IPO, the government will still own over 40% of the company, and if GM is as profitable as some people expect it to be, the government could later sell out for a profit?
Yeah, that appears to be the case. I think GM wanted to get back into the public market. They wanted to lose the specter of being government motors by having the Treasury own a majority. So they're going to try to say, no, you know, we're now a public company again. And that should help their image a little bit. People don't realize that despite the fact that there's been some folks who were saying they wouldn't buy from a company owned by the government, their market share has actually gone up over the last year, almost 2 points of market share, which is significant. And they're hoping that if they can continue to do what they're doing right now, they are just going to continue to increase the value of their stock. They've seen Ford increase the value of its stock almost tenfold.
Yeah.
Over the last year and a half. So they're hoping that they can do the same thing. And if that's the case, the government doesn't have to have much more paid for the next sale of stock to turn a profit.
Well, you know, too bad we didn't invest in Ford. We'd really be raking in the cash. The government would anyway. But, I mean, let's unpack this idea that the GM is poised to make big profits. A, there's this tax credit that we talked about yesterday, which is part of the TARP program, where they're going to get tax credits worth $45 million or so. But also there's the news that overall auto industry sales, every automaker is doing better, with the exception of Toyota.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Now, first of all, it's a $45 billion tax credit from carry-forward losses that they had before the bankruptcy. The tax folks have said that they can do this, even though they went bankrupt. Normally, they wouldn't be able to carry that forward. But under the TARP program, they will be allowed to. That will offset profits in the future. And they're turning profits. They've had 3 quarterly profits in a row, which is significant. They just said they will turn a profit for the third quarter of about $2.1 billion. They're cutting their debt spectacularly, which will probably add hundreds of millions of dollars, $500 million or more in terms of profitability. All the things are pointing to the right direction,
sales. Except. I mean, what's the evidence that GM is finally doing what they were told to do years and years ago, sell products that people actually want, efficient cars that can work in a global marketplace? The financial sort of transactions and the tax credit stuff, sure, that's going to help the bottom line, but it's ultimately about a better, broader strategy for selling good cars.
Oh, there's no question, John. In fact, I feel sort of funny saying all these wonderful things about GM, because for years they were the example of how to do business badly in North America. But the reality is so many things are going right for them. They just before we got on the air, I got a release from them. They just were the first car maker to sell over 2 million cars in China, where they're just the bomb. They're just doing wonderfully. They had 1.8 points of market share improvement. New products are hitting the mark. Consumer Reports, which is generally not favored American products, is now saying GM is one of the examples to watch for improving quality and reliability. New vehicles like the Chevy Equinox can barely keep up with demand. There's mixed but generally positive feedback on the new Chevrolet Volt and the Cruze, their conventionally powered small car. On and on, a lot of things are happening right. Now, if they can maintain, and this is the big issue, can they maintain the momentum they have by maintaining the discipline that they have gotten since they emerged from bankruptcy? If they can do that, they will be a company to be reckoned with, especially as their key competitor, Toyota, continues to struggle and face one problem after another. Just a few weeks ago, Toyota's number two American was in Detroit saying the worst is behind us. A few days later, they had to recall another 1.5 million cars. So Toyota's giving GM a chance to gain ground worldwide.
Not willingly, though. Paul Eisenstein is the publisher of thedetroitbureau.com. Thanks, Paul.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.